Have your Bibles with you. We're going to jump right on into the Word of God this evening, and we're going to pick up what we've been talking about. We've been dealing with giants must fall, and so we're going to pick right up. We're still dealing with that ever elusive and scary giant of fear, and so we're dealing with him. Now tonight we're going to go right on into how to approach and how to defeat the giant of fear. I cannot promise you that I will be able to finish the instruction from God's word concerning how to approach the giant of fear. There's a good bit of information here, but we'll get as far along as we possibly can. Let me go with you, if you would, just take your Bibles, and let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 through verse number 13. Let me read that again for us. For a reminder of where we're coming from with this thought of defeating the giant of fear. Let me read these verses, I'll pray, then we'll dig right on in to the continuance of this message. So verse number 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 1 says this, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." Now this is Paul, just a reminder, he's sending this to Timothy, a young preacher that he's trying to instruct and help to understand how to face life's difficulties. And so he says, hey, don't be ashamed of our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Paul evidently already at this point again is facing some very ominous situations in his life in prison. And therefore, some folks had walked away because don't want to be associated with him. And yet Paul is telling Timothy, don't be ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ, and don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Understand, we're in this together. And he goes on to say here in verse number 8, "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things." I don't know that I've said this yet, but I will remind you, if you follow the Lord, if you follow what's right, if you go against the grain of society by doing what God commands in his word, you just need to be ready. There will be times when no matter how hard you try to be balanced in your approach and to do things the right way, you're still going to go against the grain of society when you do right. And in this, Paul talks about there in verse number 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." He's in prison. He's dealing with issues that have come as a direct result of the stand he has taken, not in a mean or inappropriate way, but just because there are truths he could not give way against, and he had to follow truth, and therefore he also faced the consequences of society's dislike of his stand. And so he said, "I'm suffering these things, but it's for Christ. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Then the challenge to Timothy in verse number 13 is, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Now our focus has been back up at verse number 7 here in 2 Timothy 1. And that is the verse where we're told, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so we've been dealing with this giant of fear. One giant out of many to come that we're going to talk about that need to fall. Do not give way to these giants. Do not think that they will just get bored with the attack against us and just decide that, you know, I'll move on to somebody. No, life, when you're facing these giants spiritually, that also can at times affect us physically, we have to understand these giants are not just going to go away. They must be defeated in order for us to grow and be what God intends for us to be in this life. And so let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to jump right on into the next area, which is how do we deal with this giant. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the property, Lord, that belongs to you here at your house. And we're gathered together once again in this unique fashion. But Lord, we thank you that you promised us that where two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst. And I pray, Lord, you help us this evening to hear from the Holy Spirit of God, that we would understand the moving and the encouraging of the Spirit of God in our lives. I pray that you would help us to see this giant of fear, understand him to the areas of our life, and then see him and how he's trying to work in our lives and in our minds, Lord, that we might understand how we can be overcomers in this area of battle. And I pray, Lord, that you would just meet with us in a very real way. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thus far, I'm just going to give you the headlines of what we did. We talked about who the creator of fear is. We said, the Bible tells us there in verse number 7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And so we know that there are two creators. Satan is one of them, and we are the other. God is neither one of the creators, only Satan. He starts the seed. He often will create and start and plant it, but then we allow it to grow, and sometimes we add to it. And so we can become our own worst enemy if we're not careful. So there are creators of fear, but God is not that creator. Then we also said, let me see if I can work with this clipboard here so my paper don't fly everywhere. We said that there are causes of fear. Fear is oftentimes wrapped around elements. It's wrapped around objects that we become afraid of, and those objects become the very things that we get stuck on. And we stop seeing the potential to overcome, and we get stuck on the issue at hand because the object of fear seems to be too big to overcome. Well, we dealt with how some fear trouble, some fear tomorrow, some fear the tomb, and other things. We got to be very careful in our fear. We also said fear is most often the result of threats, whether they are real or just perceived. When we see threats in our lives, we oftentimes allow fear to take hold. So, fear is a very real thing. We all face it, many people today especially. And I will tell you this, and this, I'm not going to get political, but I am going to say this because it eats me alive. And I want you to just be aware. I'm not downplaying anything that's serious. But I do want you to be aware of how fear can take hold when you think you've got it whipped and you think you're, hey, I'm going to trust God. And then news comes out and all of a sudden, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? Such as, We do pretty good, and we're doing everything we can, and people seem to kind of adjust a little bit to what's going on, and we're praying and hoping this will be a short-lived thing. We'll get back to life heading in a direction that we were used to before to a degree, and then they come out with the news that experts say we could see as many as 240,000 people die in America. And somebody even said, one of them said, within the next 2 weeks. Holy cow! We're just over 4,000 right now. Now, I'm not trying to downplay anything in a major way or try to make it sound like it's nothing, but I would venture to say there's a whole bunch of people who went from we're just over 4,000 to, we could say 200, it's a good possibility. And more people talk about it, the further they go into the how possible this could be, we could be wiped out. Here's my thing. By the time you think you got fear whooped, one little issue can come right back up, and all of a sudden, boom, there you are, set back again. We got to be very careful. Listen, be very careful about this giant of fear, because he doesn't go easily. He doesn't just stand by and let you win. And when you think you've got the high ground, many times he'll take a bulldozer and level the playing field for a little while. So be very careful in how we respond, even to things today. Even if it's serious, even if it really can be something we must be aware of and careful of in life, there are real dangers. It doesn't mean that I have to live in fear. of danger. Be very careful of these things. Now, the correction of fear. How do we deal with fear? Well, verse number 7 tells us three things that God hath placed in our lives in order to deal with fear. The close abiding presence of God in your life is going to be the greatest asset that we can have for correcting fear. The closer I am to God, the less I have to fear those things which He already controls. The closer I am to Him and His fellowship, the less those things that desire my attention and create my fear, the less power they have over me, because I'm next to the one who's more powerful than they are. And so we also just got to understand that being close to the Lord, His presence alone, is a large factor in victory over this giant of fear. Psalm 27, verse number 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" When I'm focused on Him and I'm close to Him, I can have what John 14:27 tells us. Jesus Christ Himself said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." Boy, I sure am glad about that. Because there's one thing that I don't find the world being very good at giving, it's peace. But He said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, that right there is not just a suggestion. That's the Lord our Savior telling us by command, don't be afraid, don't be troubled. Listen, if you believe in God, He said, hey, if you, later other verses, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Listen, everything that we need to be victorious over the issue of fear in our life and trouble in our life is found in the very one that we can get close to every single day. There is no more veil between man and God. There's no more separation. That veil was rent in two, and we have direct access to the throne of God, and we can come before Him in time of need and gain grace and mercy to fix and to face every issue in life. And our need is for us just to understand it's not in what can I do to do this, it's in getting close to Him so He can handle this issue for me. Just let me move on very quickly with this. The first thing that we can find when it comes to the correction of fear, how do you correct it? Well, ultimately, as we're talking about right now, letter A, just trusting in God. I know that, that's deep, preacher. Wow! Like I haven't heard that 100 times already. I understand that. But no matter how many times we hear it, truth is still truth. And sometimes we have to be reminded of the accuracy of the truth of the Word of God. And the requirement of following the truth of God. Trusting in God sometimes just becomes a phrase that we use. It becomes a thought that we have. It becomes something that we claim. But listen, to claim you trust God and to turn around and act like you don't negates the claim. To say, "I trust God." Now, we're not talking about foolishness. We're not talking about just going out there and tempting God by saying, "Well, I'm like we talked about before. Well, I'm going to walk straight through this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to just trust God that it can't touch me." Well, listen, there are some things that if I'm foolish enough to do against God's direction and against God's wisdom that He places in my life, if I put myself in that position, He just might let me go ahead and face the consequences because He didn't want me there in the first place, but I said, "Well, I'm going to see how strong God is." Now listen, He's strong enough to do what needs to be done as long as I keep myself in the position He wants me in the place He wants me in, under the protection that He has provided. So therefore, there needs to be wisdom in what I do. But if I'm going to trust in God, I need to act like I trust in God. If I'm going to claim that He is what I'm placing everything in, then when it comes down to it, I need to be able to place all my cares upon Him and stop trying to hold on to them myself and living in fear and living afraid and I don't know what I can do. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Oh, and listen, when I know anxiety is a real thing. I know all that kind of stuff really happens to people, but can I just be honest in my own experience and watching even with loved ones and friends that have fought this kind of stuff, and some of them have gotten great victory over it, and you want to know when they got victory over it? When they finally learned to let go and let God give them the peace they need. And when they felt like, I can't handle it, they had to turn it over completely and say, Lord, I can't handle it, but I need your help to enable me to deal with it properly. On my own, none of us, listen, on our own, none of us can handle it. On our own, none of us will survive. On our own, we'll all lose our minds over the issues we face in life. But if I actually do what the Bible says and place my cares upon Him and understand that He careth for me, and understand that it is trusting in Him wholly that gives me peace. Does it always mean that the issue is fixed the way I'd hope? No. But it does mean that I may not have the storm calmed. There's a song that some friends of mine sing, heard it many times. Sometimes He calms the storm. Other times He calms His child. Sometimes He just eliminates the storm. Other times He says, no, the storm's going to keep going because I want you to rely on me 100%. I want you to let go of what you think you can handle. I want you to release what you think you can do for yourself and understand victory over fear and victory over all these things comes from truly, fully trusting your God. John Witherspoon wrote this. He said, it is only the fear of God that can deliver us from the fear of man. And we talk about that fear of God. It's not being afraid of Him. It's understanding who He is. It's understanding His power. It's understanding how big He is and how small I am. And it's realizing I'm nothing. Thou art holy. Thou art worthy. That is the fear of God. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 tells us, be careful for nothing. Now, that doesn't mean don't be careful, okay? I used to joke with some friends. We, you know, typically used to tell somebody, bye, be careful. We would joke about something like this, be like, hey, bye, be careless. But that's just, we're joking. I'm not being serious about it. But what it's not saying don't be careful about life. Don't take care in what you do. But it's talking about don't be full of care. Don't be over worried about things. Don't be overthinking things. Don't be full of the cares of life. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto men. Is that what it says? No. Where's the direction that we must turn? It's not to one another. It's not to government. It's not to society. It's not to all the other answers that people think different areas have. It says that we are to turn with thanksgiving and supplication. Let your request be made known unto God. So we're not to take all the cares and wrap them within our own minds and wrap them up in our own solutions, but we're to take these things before the Lord. And here's the promise, verse number 7 of Philippians chapter 4 says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, here's the unique thing about this. Many times people love to use verse number 7 and claim verse number 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we love using that verse, but what about taking the actual verse prior to that, which is the conditional verse to receiving the peace of God, which passes all understanding? The conditional verse is, be careful for nothing. Don't put your hands on it. Don't put your solutions on it. Don't try to figure it all out for yourself. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Then, once the condition has been met, the promise can be understood and experienced. So, trusting God is ultimately our starting point in dealing with this giant of fear. Bible tells us, well, I'm gonna skip down, I'm gonna just move on here. God has given us through Himself everything that we need to battle against the spirit of fear. I'm gonna give you these and we're gonna be done. Y'all gonna get all spoiled about this short preaching stuff. I tell you what, who knows? I might even get in the habit of preaching short. Yes, I actually heard amens on that one. Maybe some of the people watching online aren't quite so mean, but probably not. I'll start getting a whole bunch of comments here before too much longer. But God, through Himself, has given us everything that we need to battle against the spirit of fear, and here they are. They're found in basically the Trinity of God Himself. Okay? In a triune God, you find what we need. The Bible says here in verse number 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For God not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Power, the Father. Love, the Son. Sound mind, the Holy Spirit. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, is revealed in the answer of how we deal with fear. Again, it's not wrapped up in what we can come up with and the solutions we can have and the doctors that we can see and the wisdom of man. The solution of dealing with fear, and I would even say anxiety and worry and all the things, the solution, the Bible solution, is all found in God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just a simple layout of fear versus faith. Fear imprisons. Faith liberates. Fear paralyzes. Faith moves. Fear disheartens. Faith encourages. Fear weakens, but faith empowers. Fear shipwrecks, but faith equips for the journey. Fear causes hopelessness, yet faith gives hope. Oftentimes, we get so wrapped up in fear, we forget how to follow our Savior by faith. Someone has said, and I can't remember who this was, but I've heard this statement many times, "I would rather walk with God in the dark than go alone in the light." I would rather walk in the dark where I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what the next step holds for me. I haven't got a clue what I'm going to face around the corner. I'd rather walk in the dark with God than walk in the light and be completely alone and on my own to make the right decisions. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse Number seven. We kind of alluded to this before, but here it is. A very popular verse, and we're going to stop with this right here. Very popular verse, well known. Bible tells us, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." If we don't learn to cast our cares upon our God, by the way, let's go to his true full form in name, Jehovah. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. If we don't learn to get a hold of Jehovah God, all powerful, all knowing, we talked about Him Sunday morning, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, 100% everything we need. The power, the love, and the sound mind that we need is found in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is no other option. There is no other road of solution. There is no other place we can go to find another way to find peace or another way to have victory over fear. It is only found when we go to Almighty God and we surrender everything and say, Lord, I can't handle it. Help. And He is an ever-present help in time of need. We've got to learn to take everything to the Lord and understand only He has the solution to be victorious over this giant of fear and see Him fall on the battlefield. Well, that's all for tonight.